by for Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with your host, Drew Kirby.
Hey, this is Luke Holmes.
I am Morgan Wallen.
I'm Riley Green.
I'm Travis Denning.
Hey, I'm Aaron Lewis.
Hey, it's Luke Bryan.
I'm Tim McGraw.
What's up? This is Ian Munsick.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Well, Janet, this is a special time of year because hunting is on the tip of everyone's tongue and on the top of the brain.
That's right. And it's so crazy that we are, you know, starting to harvest all of our gardens and get everything kind of wrapped up looking towards some fall weather. And that's my favorite time in Wyoming, that's for sure.
Yeah, when fall comes around, a lot of people have already done a lot of their preparing for their big game hunts or their time in the backcountry to harvest those animals. And I know that they look for a little advice when we get to certain points of the year because of how much work you guys put into, you know, all the species and all the hunting and everything that goes into it, really.
That's right. You know, our biologists are out on the ground, our wildlife biologists are out on the ground year round, kind of taking a look at those big game species and actually all game species and all non-game species, checking out how things are going, you know, how animals are doing. We just have had, you know, a lot of avian influenza and different things this summer that you've kind of seen some information come out on. And that's a part of this analysis that they continually do is how are the big game populations doing? How, you know, are things like doves and songbirds and things going? And always looking for, you know, diseases or population declines or how the forage is going. You know, that's the number one thing that people often forget is habitat. And how important habitat is for those big game animals. And our guys have been out doing a lot of, you know, grass forage surveys, checking how things are going, checking on a lot of the water guzzlers that are out there. And during that time, you know, our biologists who Brandon Werner oversees are learning so much about big game. So we brought Brandon on to talk a little bit about our big game hunting forecast for the fall of 2025.
You know, you mentioned some of the birds, you know, like the dove and some of that. People forget, like, that's a big hunting season that is about to come open when the bird season's open. For a lot of folks, that's maybe the first time they get out into the land to hunt anything. And Brandon, I know that that you love the turkeys. You've had quite experience with turkeys over the years. And then, you know, you Janet mentioned, you know, you look at the habitat for, you know, the dove and everything like that. And that really all works. It's like a big circle of life. It all works together.
Happy harmony, right?
It really is. A lot of the species are really St. Patrick. So when turkeys are doing well, you know, sometimes antelope and mule deer are really doing well. And a lot of that really just boils down to the weather that year. If we have a really hard winter, maybe some critters get knocked down a bit. Or if we have a lot of moisture out there, puts a lot of extra forage on the landscape, and a lot of species do well then.
One of the weird things about this year weather-wise, I thought it was going to be just horribly hot and dry and no moisture anywhere. But really, I mean, it kind of has changed a little bit. We went through that crunchy grass period, but we're getting those showers and storms now that are giving us some liquid. And you go to some of the northern and northeastern parts, and boy, it's just bright green.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's something that we really, really needed. Because as you know, last winter and even the winter before that was really mild, so we just didn't have as much snowpack on the landscape that we really needed to hold that water on the land longer so those animals could really enjoy that luscious green stuff. But these last few weeks of rain that we've had have been really awesome.
But still not fantastic. Things are still pretty dry out there and we're still looking for more moisture. So the picture is not rosy. And one of the things that we always say is, you know, just because patch A is looking a little bit better, that does not translate to the whole state. And so keeping that in mind, you know, some places that are fantastic, others still are not.
You know, I mentioned those storms and the rain showers that we'd been getting. It's also, you know, lit up some fires. There have been lots of fires burning in our area. And Brandon, how big of an impact will that have on the game this year, especially when a fire burns in Area 19 like it did just a couple of weeks ago?
Well, so far the fires that we've had have been pretty dang small and localized to some areas. So I don't foresee there being any big impacts to wildlife populations or even hunting access unless a big fire were to come up. But we were talking about, you know, habitat conditions, and really a lot of the fires right now are getting started because lightning strikes in cheatgrass areas. So an invasive annual grass species that cures out before everything and is really susceptible to fire.
So when we're looking at the 2025 seasons, how are we looking? I mean, we did have that dry time and really looking into, you know, some big times.
For sure. And to look to where we're at now, we really have to look back, right? So like Janet was talking about, we spend a lot of time out on the landscape collecting our fawn to doe ratios, our buck to doe ratios. We're looking at our harvest statistics. We're running population models. But the best thing about being a biologist is really just being out there and seeing the changes on the landscape. So the last few winters, like I said, were pretty mild, which leads to really good adult survival, and which has really increased our fawn ratios over the last couple of years in our mule deer and our pronghorn. Mm-hmm. So things are looking pretty good. You know, back in 2021, when we had the really bad EHD die off, and then 22, 23, when we had the really hard winter, which we didn't lose a lot of critters here in the Casper region. But what we did see is it really stressed those does out, and then it produced less fawns. But since then, with the increased forage that we had because of that really hard winter, has led to increased fawn production. So if we're talking about pronghorn right now or antelope, like we have seasons for, our buck ratios have been good. Our fawn production has been up. Now, we're still pretty conservative with licenses out there because we're still trying to build back up to where we were before that bad EHD in 2021. But if you have an antelope license in the Casper region, we're expecting pretty dang high success this year.
Do you foresee within the next couple of years that the number of licenses will be a little higher in these areas where things are starting to prosper?
You know, that's pretty tough to tell because we just got to see outside factors such as really bad droughts or winters coming in or disease. But if things are the way they are right now, I do foresee some increased licenses in the next few years. We did add a few in some of the hunt areas this last year, but just pretty modest increases. But honestly, time will tell.
Which, obviously, that's why you guys are on the ground year-round, is so that you can keep up on these numbers. And I know you mentioned the pronghorn. How about the mule deer and even the whitetails?
So, yeah, mule deer across our region, we just have less mule deer than we would like. I mean, and that's really statewide. We just do not have as many mule deer as we would like. But fawn production this last year, a good example of this in Bates Hole, so Area 66, had the highest fawn production since 1996. So almost as long as I've been alive. So we've had a couple good years like that, but it'll take several years of really good fawn production to get those numbers back up. So mule deer is still going to be less than we would like out on the landscape. But if you have a limited quota license in our region, such as Hunt Area 10, 34, 89, our buck ratios are running high. We anticipate really good harvest success in those areas.
And, you know, just as a reminder, Drew, the mule deer are just such an iconic species and, you know, really important to the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. So, you know, we are continuing to look at those specifically, kind of study some different things that might be affecting the population since they are declining across the entire American West, not just in Wyoming. But, you know, we're really looking at some different habitat things and really, you know, trying to move that population forward. Because as Brandon mentioned, you know, why in his lifetime was this year just a fantastic fawn to doe ratio versus, you know, the last rest of the time that he's been alive or the last 60 years that we've kind of seen this decline. And so looking into those things, it is important to Game and Fish and just want people to know that. And remember, we love our mule deers.
For sure. And we're ultra conservative on the amount of licenses that we give out and where we give them out just to provide some opportunity. But the hunting seasons we have, we feel very strongly it has little to no impact on populations.
Perfect.
Speaking of habitat, very quickly, there are a lot of habitat projects. Do you see that all of the habitat projects that are underway are starting to pay off? And on average, when will you actually see a payoff?
Habitat projects are something that's you can see in long term. So, you know, we've really been hitting the ground hard, doing Z-dike structures, which are a way to redistribute water on the landscape. We've been doing some sagebrush treatments to thin the amount of sagebrush on the landscape to allow more grasses, forbs to come up, but then really sets up younger sagebrush on the landscape so we don't have the old decadent stuff. We've been doing a lot of fence conversions. So fence is something that you can see, like, yeah, animals can move the fence lines a lot easier. They can go over it. They can go under it. But sagebrush manipulations and Z-dike structures, that something like that just takes kind of decades to really see the improvements on the landscape.
And that's one of the hard things about habitat, Drew, is, you know, we can do the work 1 year and people expect, okay, you did that work. You had, you know, the cheatgrass removal process in place. Where are those natural forbs? Where are the new shrubs coming in? And everyone stands around and looks and it's like, this is, you know, years and years and decades long before we often see the results of these. And that's so hard and super frustrating. And we have to just keep that mindset that, you know, patience is important when it comes to those habitat projects. It's not overnight. You know, we didn't get these changes in habitat overnight, and we're not going to be able to cure it overnight or even over a summer. And so it does take a long, long time for those things to happen. And we continue just to do everything, anything and everything that we can on the ground as far as, you know, funding and all of that allows us. And so just keeping that in mind that, you know, just because we say we're doing habitat doesn't mean tomorrow you're going to turn around and have this amazing mule deer habitat result. It takes time.
Yeah, and Janet, thanks for bringing up that cheatgrass removal, because we're doing a lot of spraying on the landscape this last year. The BLM just approved Rejuvera, a new chemical that we're trying out that we're really, really excited for. We should see some really good effects from that.
Which we were talking to John McCoy, that long 3-week series on aquatic habitat and what it takes, you know, with some of those projects. Some are a little easier than others, but then there are some that take, you know, 20 years before you ever see any kind of results. So go back and listen to that, and it's kind of the same scenario. You can listen to that on demand at any time. So, Brandon, we talked about a mule deer. We've talked about pronghorn. How about the elk in our region?
Yeah, elk. So something that's a lot different than mule deer. So we are over objective in all of our elk herds in the Casper region. So we have too many elk on the landscape than what our population goal is. So we are anticipating really good success, especially if you have like a limited quota license. So our bull harvest in 2024 was almost the record. We harvested a bunch of bulls across the Casper region. Cow harvest, the same. It was very high success on our cows, but it can be more difficult to hunt cows just because they get in some really big bunches and they hang out on some land where there's typically some difficult access.
And one of the things that we really want to remind people about with the elk hunting seasons, last year when we were looking at setting our 2025 hunting season for elk, Brandon and his crew had really come up with some new innovative ideas that they had thrown out there. And while, you know, we had a lot of public and landowner support, there was a little bit of a hiccup at the commission meeting and it did not get passed. And so we do want to make sure that people who were in support of that and were excited for those changes, it did not happen. So make sure that you go to your regulations and that you do know that the opening dates did not change and you do know that when your license is valid and not valid, because I do know that there was a lot of excitement for that. And when it didn't go through, you know, I just want to make sure everybody knows, hey, don't forget the date is not changing, those sorts of things. So
for sure. And so Jane is talking about Hunt Area 7. So the license structure there would be very similar to the year before. Yeah. In addition to that, across our region, we have a lot of type 8 licenses, which is an unlimited cow or calf license. They're mostly on private land. So be sure if you're going to hunt on a type 8 license, we have them 113, 116, 17, 122 and 126, that you have some private land lined up before you buy one of those licenses. Another thing too, I'd like the public to know that if you hunt in Elk Area 23, so the rattlesnakes, if you're planning on archery hunting, that only the Type 9 licenses are valid during that month of September now. So the Type 1s, 4s, and 6s no longer hold that special archery option.
So, and again, this is all in the regulations. You should always brush up on that because they do change every year. Something passes, something doesn't pass, something goes back to the way it used to, or big changes.
Exactly, and now's the time to do it. You don't want to be a day or two before the season when you weren't ready to go hunting and looking like, oh, the season date changed. So definitely hop on now on the website. You can give us a call, and we'll help you out.
You know, Brandon, one of the things that I've encountered with a couple of people, you mentioned this, is having the access to these areas before you buy a tag, first off, because if you can't get to an area, you're just burning the money and eating a tag.
We do, you know, really require that. Mm-hmm. And not just permission, but written permission. Because you don't want to, you know, if you were dealing with someone like me and my memory, and I gave you permission, but I didn't write it down, and you came back to me three months later, I might blink my eyes at you and be like, who are you? Because I can't remember anything anymore. And so making sure that you do have that written permission helps save you money on a tag, helps make sure that you are legal as you're moving forward with your license and hunting on someone else's land.
So we have some good opportunities out there, such as Access Yes Land. So land that's either enrolled in walk-in or hunter management area, which I believe the slips are open right now for hunter management areas. So if that's something you're interested in, hop on our website, look around, apply for those.
July 21, I think was the date.
Yeah.
So Brandon, overall, the 2025 hunting season, are you excited?
Very excited, Drew. It's going to be a great year for people of Wyoming to get out and really enjoy this awesome resource that we have. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Very good. Looking forward to it. Make sure to go to wgfd.wyo.gov. Get on the hunt planner. Get into the regulations. Make sure you have everything. T's crossed, I's dotted, and have a great season.
That's right. And Drew, don't forget to join us soon for discussions on chronic wasting disease. We have lots of mandatory and focus priority areas across the state, and we can discuss all of that next round.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
The 2025 championship for the Wyoming Walleye Stampede is in the books. The husband-wife duo of Clint and Laura Akers took home the prize package of over $12,000 in cash and prizes. 46.89 pounds is where they sat. A great two-day total. They had good totals both days. Brian and Mitch with us. And guys, it's been a great season. Started back in May at Glendo and ended up in Pathfinder, and then wrapped it up here at Boisen.
Yeah, we wrapped it up here with the best of the best, the top 60 teams that fished throughout the season. And it was kind of a nail-biter there for a while. There was a lot of flip-flopping. There was a lot of good quality fish that were being caught. And, whether a team had a good day the first day, they just certainly weren't out of it going into day two. And there was a couple teams that, had struggled on day one that, didn't catch a fish or weighable fish that came back and won, weighed in over 20 pounds on day two, which kept them in the, top 20 for sure.
Which, Mitch, it just goes to show that every angler puts their pants on the same way, one leg at a time, right?
They absolutely do. And those 20-pound bags, I think, as Brian said, it was kind of flip-flopping. There was a lot of people as the day went on that had a 29. I think we had one team at 229s today. Yesterday, mm-hmm. A couple of teams with a 30 and then a 26. Those 20-pound bags they were the deal-breaker for the majority of the rest of the field. I think those big fish were – multiple. I think every boat that caught a big fish caught multiple usually too. I think we had one team today with 22 pounds that had a zero yesterday. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Yeah, it just goes to show, you're not out of it until you're off the water, really.
Right. Well, and this reservoir does not have a minimum size restriction, unlike Glendo, where it has a 15-inch minimum. But, in our efforts with the conservation in mind is that, these water temperatures are warm. And even though they're not putting fish in live wells, we figure we got the best of the best anglers out there. And we bumped our size minimum to 17 inches. So it wasn't for these guys not catching fish. I mean, this reservoir reservoir has got a lot of 13 to 16 and a half inch fish, which a lot of anglers told us about because they were whining, like, how come you didn't keep it at 16 inches? But yeah, this fishery is great. You know, the biologists seem to be doing a great job with managing it. It's got such a great big body of water, and there's it gives anglers an opportunity to fish just about every possible style you can think of.
Mitch, one thing we've talked about the entire season is you have these teams that, you know, the team of the year, you crown that this year or today also. But, you know, like these partners, they fish all year together, every one of these. I mean, that's a span of, oh, what, 4 months or so that, you know, people are together every weekend that we're out here on the water. And it just goes to show how passionate these guys and gals are.
Well, and I think Brian nailed it today when we were kind of packing up. He came over to me and he said, you know, I don't think there's any surprises for the top teams. I think there are a handful of guys that fish together, the same partner throughout the season, as you said, four months. But there's also a lot of teams. These guys, you know, they travel together. They're here together all summer. They talk to each other, and usually you see two, three, four teams that team up, and they spend the whole summer with, you know, traveling together and spend it with us. It's kind of what we wanted, what we built.
This is the 16th year. So the 16th year is in the books, which means you guys have made great relationships over the year. When everybody shows up the rule meetings the first night, it's like a family reunion. It's not like there, you could tell there's competition and there's, you know, the pride of I want to beat my buddy or whatever, but it's just kind of a family, you know, time here.
Yeah, you know, we can drive around the lake and kind of get an idea of who's going to be camping together. A lot of these guys bring their wives and their kids, and while the guys are out fishing during the day, the kids are on the shore with mom and, you know, running kayaks and, you know, playing on the water and eating snacks and doing what they do. And it's really kind of a great just way to just – it's great to get the kids out, for one, right? I mean, it's fun to be able to fish with your spouse or your significant other, your buddy from college or whatever. But to be able to bring your family along with you and actually spend some of those times where, you know, kids kind of start learning the value of being outside. And there's a lot of that going on out here, and it's really neat to see.
So, Mitch, I know that, you know, what is this? The 16th year is in the books now. So year 17, you guys kind of want to look a little different, and you're really putting the planning committee together now to really look and see what you got going.
Yeah, we talked to a handful of guys throughout the season, and we've got a pretty good group of guys that are kind of our core, I guess is what I would call them, and we communicate with them. And we'll probably over the next month try to lock down what our plans are for next season. It'll look similar, probably three events, qualifying events, and then a fourth championship, you know, to end the summer. But yeah, I think as exciting as this year was, I think next year is going to be, you know, just as good as long as we get some snow and some rain through the spring and we've got some water in these lakes.
Yeah, and that plays a big role. I mean, obviously they fish differently than, you know, talking to the champs, Clint and Laura, and, you know, Clint said he's fished here a lot of times and it's totally different than all the other reservoirs. But some great folks helped out through the year. I know everybody in Glendale was there, Bellwood Boats and Docks and you know, Skeeter Boats, a big one, and obviously Crowley Marine. So there are a lot of folks that are on board and will stay that way.
Well, and it's just, I mean, we're very thankful for the sponsors that we have. You know, we couldn't do these tournaments without them. And, you know, the sponsors, you know, put added money to these different divisions. So, you know, you see things like family divisions and dinosaur division and the poor boys division. Those are all sponsor driven. And those are where an angler can compete for day one for that $400, which, you know, helps them pay for their entry fee to get into the event. And so, you know, we're always looking for other sponsors. We're always looking for different ideas of ways to, you know, grow the circuit. You know, we're probably one of the few circuits across the country that's maintaining or growing team numbers. But, you know, we're very transparent on what we pay out, who the winners are, how much they're getting paid, where the money's going. And we do what we tell the anglers we're going to do. And so our job is to try to put these anglers on bodies of water where the fishing is the best it possibly can be, and also the safest. So when we're talking about reservoir systems and, you know, as we get later in the season and these waters are being drawn down, you know, safety concerns, you know, are obviously for us is like, you know, are the conditions of the lake going to be okay to run a boat around for a team that, you know, only gets to spend a couple, 3-4 days on this body of water. So bodies of water like Pathfinder and Seminole, you know, those can be really challenging. There's lots of rock outcroppings. And so we certainly love going and supporting those communities. We have great support from all those communities as well. But that, you know, we're going to be getting numbers kind of down and kind of look at maybe probably talk to the Bureau of Rec and get anticipation for what do they think the water levels will be. And we'll put a schedule together and hopefully we'll be able to stick to it. We've been lucky for, I think it's actually 17 years. 16 of a full circuit, but our first year we had just a single event. So
okay.
Not going to say you weren't right, but
right.
We've been doing them for 17 years and we've kind of grown every year in terms of what we've done differently and also stayed consistent and true to our anglers.
One of the things I think you just mentioned, the anglers, and that huge part of this, and Mitch, I know that there are people that hear us talking about the Wyoming Walleye Stampede and really want to know what it's about. And you know, like, you guys are always open. Obviously, you can go follow them on Facebook and their website to find out some information. But, you know, I know you guys are just regular people, and you want people to be into this because you love fishing just as much as everybody else.
Yeah, I think Brian and I are pretty passionate about fishing in general and tournament fishing, and we both started kind of the circuit because of tournament fishing and our love for the sport. But, yeah, this is by no means the top tier pro level. We've got guys that have fished across the country at a pro level. We have people, as you know, the winners, husband and wife, that fish together, you know, for the last 20 years. Clint used to fish several tournaments with his dad, his brother, his nephew, you know. So this is, it's camaraderie. It's a fun family event. And, you know, it's something that I think because of our passion, we want to try to pass that down to as many people as we can.
And if you love fishing, you might as well look into it. I mean, gosh, first place took home $12,000, and that's just prize money from the tournament.
Yeah, on top of that, that team was running a Lund, but they also got a $10,000 discount code from Bellwood Boats for the purchase of a new boat. They also qualified for Yamaha money. So they're walking away with more than the 12
for a weekend of fishing. I mean, that's pretty darn good. I think I say that every time, but you know, if you take the love of fishing out of it and it's just a competition at that point, you know, it just doesn't have that appeal. But you just think about going out with your dad. We've got father, son, we've got brothers that fish. We've got lots of husband, wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, all that. So it really is a great way to build that camaraderie and enjoy fishing while you're out trying to make some money. Well, can't go wrong with that.
And I think for our standpoint, I mean, we've, you know, everybody here has, you know, become close with each other and good friendships have been created. And, you know, if I'm anywhere in the state of Wyoming and I break down, there's a name of somebody I can call probably that would be willing to lend a hand. And I think that goes across the board for any of the tournament guys.
I mean, shoot, you guys could be in a different state and break down and still.
Very true.
Yeah, chances are pretty high.
Yeah. So cool. Again, the 2025 season, Clint and Laura Akers are the champions. But I believe the first 3 weeks, brand new winners, never have won before. I do believe we went over that the other night, and that was pretty close to true.
First time winners for all of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And it's kind of cool, you know. You see that, and it really kind of makes you feel pretty good, you know.
Well, it just makes everybody understand that it's anyone's game, and anybody can win. So it's not you're not just seeing the same three guys or five teams winning every event.
There's a lot of dinosaurs in this competition, and they get a little intimidating sometimes because they know exactly what they're doing, but they can be beat.
That's right.
All right. Brian, Mitch, thanks again for another great season. And obviously, again, if you're looking into wanting to get your family or get into it, go check them out. Go to their Facebook page. It's Wyoming Walleye Stampede.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Here we are, Boisen Reservoir, the 2025 Wyoming Walleye Stampede champions. Clint and Laura Akers, congratulations to you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, you guys really did it pretty hardcore. When we saw you on the final day on Sunday, you were kind of tucked away in a hole where nobody was around you, and obviously it paid off. Right, Laura?
Yep, it sure did. Thank you.
When you guys are going into a tournament like this, obviously you fished in all four of the Stampede this year and in previous years, but when you go in, do you always have a game plan of how you're going to do this?
Yeah, I try and get a game plan, but you just got to change with the weather, and the weather affects a lot, and the wind and everything, so you got to be able to adjust pretty much on the fly. So
a championship, I mean, that's pretty great. It means you guys did so well throughout the season that, you know, you were able to make it here, and Laura, to come here to the championship round, and really, I mean, you guys had solid days both days, so, you know, you're probably feeling pretty confident after day one, aren't you?
Yeah, we did really good day one, and so going into day two, it was a little bit slow in the morning, but it picked up, so I was glad.
When you get into a situation like this, do you feel the nerves? I mean, you're leading, or you're pretty strong on day one, and day two, you know, you just need a pretty good basket to get that championship.
Well, she's always cold as ice. I used to get nervous, but this is our second championship win here. We'd won the Wyoming Walleye Circuit with my dad in 2010.
Okay.
On here. So I've been doing this a long time, but yeah, that we caught a 27.5 in the last probably 10 minutes, 15 minutes, and my knees were shaking. And she's just cold as ice waiting for it. Tell me when.
You know, my dad always says that if you don't get that nerve, you know, you're why are you doing it?
Yeah, just quit that, doing you know? It. Yeah,
it's just one of those great things. And so 46.89 pounds, very impressive for the 2 days. And Laura, I know that you guys have multiple ways that you go about catching your fish and your different philosophies doing it. Did you get set on one way and stick with it the whole tournament?
No, just kind of whatever pops into your head and whatever you feel like trying, we just tried.
That's the fun of fishing, right?
Yeah.
Because if one thing's not working, you've got a whole, you know, arsenal of things to try here. And Clint, I know that with the champion like this, it's pretty cool. Not only do you get nice plaques, but you get pretty big checks. And not only did you guys win the big check, but Skeeter got you guys hooked up with the possibility of future boats, and just kind of nice to go home with a nice win.
Yeah, and it is. Skeeter, they really stepped up. And I just wanted to thank Bellwood Boats, too. We bought a Yamaha motor from Bellwood Boats, and they're great guys. They do great service and stuff like that. And it's really fun. You know, it's fun fishing with my wife. And then I used to fish with my nephew and my dad, and it's a good way to spend time. And it's really just fun to go fishing. I mean, that's the gist of it, I think.
But. So did you guys just spend the week down here at Boisen then, Laura?
Not every day, but most of the week.
Yeah. Kind of got some pre-fishing in and got acclimated to everything here. Because it's really different, in my opinion, it's a lot different here than it is at the Glendo's or the Pathfinder. It just seems a little outside of what we're normally used to.
Yeah, and it's kind of nice because, like, on takeoff both days, we were watching all the boats take off, and everybody goes this way or this way or this way. You know, at Glendo, everybody goes into Muddy Bay or Airport Bay or stuff like that, but it's really a diverse fishery, so it's pretty fun.
It's pretty cool that you guys picked up the win again, 46.89 pounds, picking up the 2 day total there, and champions of 2025 means you get to come back next year as the title holders. And,
right.
I mean, you guys got a target on your back now, you know, so
right.
Everybody's going to come gunning for you.
Right. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Clint and Laura Akers, thank you guys so much and congratulations.
No problem. Thank you so much.
It's Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.
Hey, it's Drew and Brian Woodward. We're at Boisen, the championship for the 2025 is in the books for the Wyoming Walleye Stampede. And Brian, it's been really good. But you know what I've noticed a lot over the last few days is there were a lot of guys that came up to you and said, hey, I've been in Rocky Mountain Discount Sports multiple times this week. I think I bought you out of this.
That doesn't hurt. And you know, we try to accommodate for everybody. And the reason they're there is because we do stock what they need.
Right.
So that's it.
Well, and we've talked a lot on the show about how, you know, you order things in there for things that are, you know,
regionally
needed.
Specific.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So obviously, you know, some of that and a lot of that is fishing, hunting and camping and hiking and outdoor adventures. But you also have a great opportunity to interact with, you know, some of the young folks. And Noah is one of those. And we've talked about Noah on the show a lot. Noah has been on the show, but you know, now it's to the point where Noah has competed in this tournament one time, and really, he's kind of grown into a young man right in front of our eyes.
Well, you know, he's definitely grown height-wise over the years. I think, you know, when he started here, he was like, you know, 4'9", and now he's almost 6 foot, I think. So, I mean, he's been with us for a long time, and honestly, I mean, just a great help. And I think, you know, it's good, you know, for all the guys that kind of ride with us on way boats. I mean, there's an opportunity to meet some great anglers and to learn about these lakes and to see different techniques of how guys are actually tackling these lakes.
And Noah, I know that you have learned a lot, not just from Brian, but all these other anglers kind of have taken you under their wing, and, you know, you're their little buddy that, you know, had just asked so many questions, and they're willing to give you those answers. But what do you think you've learned the most over the last couple of years through the tournament?
I've learned a lot about live scoping and plastics. I used to be a big live bait, minnows, worms, and leeches. That's all I ever used. I don't even think sometimes we pulled crankbaits. I never had jerk baits or swim baits or anything. And then Brian, and we've talked to Joe Rangel before, and those guys, I go fishing with them, and that's all they use. And you got to adapt to it, and that's those plastics and stuff. I mean, they work, obviously. That's why people use them, and I've learned a lot. I'm confident with them now, and I've learned over the past 3 years, I'd say that's one thing that I've made big improvements on.
You're looking at maybe even next summer doing a little tournament fishing of your own. And are your parents okay with this at this point, or?
Well, I'd say it's about
50-50. Are we just now telling them?
I'd say it's a... We'll see if we can convince them. We'll have to have Brian over with a couple beers. But
you know, his parents are very good parents, and for those of us that like the discipline aspect of with the kids, I mean, they definitely make sure that Noah's doing chores, keeping up on his grades, and, you know, being able to come out and fish these events and even join us for the weekends in the wayboat. Noah has a set of rules that he has to follow before he can actually come out and play. And as long as he keeps his head straight, I bet you he'd be fishing next year.
What did I hear something about your mom saying you need to think about your actions, and, you know, what was that dumb action that you did, and think about what you're doing wrong and get things straight?
Sounds like a conversation you might have had with your mom.
Probably. I'm sure I had that, and I'm sure I said something about it, but I can't get it off the top of my head.
But it's kind of fun, and I know, you know, is this the fourth championship you've been to?
Yeah, I think so.
So you've learned a lot at all these, especially when it comes to tournament fishing. You've got to fish in a tournament this year, and you're going to do that again still, right?
Yeah, I've got a tournament coming up next weekend with the same partner I fish Pathfinder with. It's been a great opportunity. I've learned a lot from him, and he texted me one night. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "I think I can make a free day." He said, "Perfect. We're going fishing." So
that's a pretty good deal, right?
Yeah.
You can't go wrong with that.
Nope, not at all.
Are you going to go in and see Brian at Rocky Mountain Discount Sports and go down the fishing aisle and stock up?
Yeah, I think I get paid on Friday, so we might have to see what I can do.
Well, no, it's been a fun summer again, and we're looking forward to 2026, which officially will be the 18th year of the Wyoming Walleye Stampede, 17th of the circuit, is what Brian said a little bit earlier. So that's going to be a pretty fun time next year.
Yeah, it will, hopefully. I mean, I'm always, first off, is Brian and Mitch and you guys, because I know you guys are going to need help at the bigger ones like Glendo, but maybe if we need another sub, I might have to hop in and fish again, because that was a fun experience. So,
well, the rule is, you know, once a wayboat staff, always a wayboat staff. However, you can find your replacement. So if you come up with a new wayboat replacement for you, then you fish all you want.
Yeah.
I've got a little buddy named Sawyer.
Yeah, Sawyer's coming up the chain with us.
All right. Well, I know you got to get home, and football is starting, and real life is back at it.
Yep, that's... I was thinking about that last night when I went to bed. I go, man, I got football tomorrow. School starts in 2 weeks. What a way to end the summer at the championship for the Wyoming Walleye Stampede.
Very good. Thanks so much.
Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors with Drew Kirby. If you have a question, want to make a comment, or have an idea for a show topic, message us on the My Country mobile app. Wyoming Hooking and Hunting Outdoors.